Welcome to the official Leeds United podcast with me, Emma Jones, Matt Lewis and Jermaine Beckford. And we're delighted to say that Patrick Bamford has finally shown up. And Patrick, we've just got one question for you.
Yeah.
Where the f*** have you been?
I've been busy. I'm a busy man.
What could possibly have taken precedent over the official Leeds United podcast, Patrick?
To be honest, there's been a few things, actually.
Matt's had sleepless nights worrying sick about you, where you've been. He's had no idea, have you, Matt?
I've had no missed calls. I've had no letters. I've had nothing. I've had no information about where you've been.
I was a bit worried. I didn't want you to go all like quiet and into your shell on me.
Do you know what? This is the thing about Matty. He gets a little bit starstruck. So, you know, when you're not there, you're like his safety blanket.
But it's not the first time that you've been starstruck.
Mate, no, I did it with Bex when we first started.
Actually, whilst you're on that topic, I've actually got quite an interesting voice note for you guys. Oh. Of one of your, I'll play it for you. Hang on.
What's this going to be?
Hi, guys. Really enjoyed doing the pod. I thought it was brilliant and a great time, but it was almost a bit weird. It seemed like Matt went into his shell a little bit, and it was almost like he was starstruck. All a bit strange, but yeah, had a great time.
That was from Johnny. I don't know what you did to him, but you must have you left quite an impression.
That is excellent.
I don't even know what to say. Where have you got that from? That conversation was between us three and Johnny. So what have you got involved with that?
Well, obviously, I'm in touch with him, aren't I? And asked him how it went and stuff. And he wasn't quite sure what was up with you.
Well, I love meeting you all. I mean, he's got a library named after him in Horsforth, for crying out loud. Like, that's a big deal to me. That
look, he's changing colour. Mate, he's changing colour.
And I'm wearing the same colour of this shirt. That's made me laugh at us.
To be fair, he has won a few golds, so can be forgiven.
When Matt gets a bit starstruck as well, his voice just goes higher and higher. It's wonderful to listen to.
Octane's completely changed, haven't they?
And it's never anything to do with like music or film and TV. It's always sport. Anyone to do with sport.
Well, Matt, look, you've had a sip of your tea. You've had a deep breath.
Yeah.
Are you feeling ready to crack on with the podcast?
I'm all right. I'm just excited Pat's back, that's all.
He's a bit giddy.
Speaking about sport, Matty, how's your foot?
Oh, yeah.
How's your leg?
Oh, Pat, don't pretend that you care now. It's been broken for a few weeks. You've not been in touch, have you?
Yeah, never followed that up. Never text me, never asked if I was going well, if I was recovering. Never asked if I wanted any rehab advice. Nothing.
I'm sure I messaged saying, how is it? I've got some programs for you.
Yeah, maybe send that to another Matt. Maybe probably send it to Johnny. I don't know, you all seem to be pals. I went for my follow-up last week on Wednesday and it turns out that when the doctor said I could come out the boot and do and you know, it was all good, it was under the proviso that I did nothing, and I very much did not do nothing. So it's still in four pieces. So she's ordered me back in the boot for 4 more weeks full time.
No.
Like no exceptions. I've got to sleep in it and everything. I hate it. It's driving me mad.
Oh, wow.
How does that affect if you've got any castings or anything?
Yeah, it's I've kind of just been sort of out of the loop, to be honest with you. I've been I've had a couple of things come in that I've had to just say it's touch and go, maybe by October, but I don't, it's probably not going to be now. I'm going to have to sort of say.
But it doesn't mean that you can't act, does it? Just because your foot's in a boot.
Well, no.
But he acts like a baby at the best of times. So.
Yeah, exactly. I know. But it's just like just for an entire production, like, because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, depending on what the role is, like if I'm going to have to be running
great
around.
Great for a one-legged man, wouldn't it? Something.
Yeah, I have put out several casting calls saying if you are looking for a one-legged man, Pirates Caribbean 17, maybe, give me a peg leg or something. I don't know. I'm trying. I'm working on it.
Right, before we crack on, Matt, because I follow your life really, really closely.
Obviously, yeah.
It says in the production notes here that you've been to Canada.
Yes, I just went to Canada for a couple of days.
As you do.
As you know, against exactly what my doctor ordered was to sit at home and then fly to Canada. No, it's not too far. It was all right. It wouldn't take too long. And I was sat in front of Neil and his wife, who I believe was called Barbara. And if you listen to this and that's not your name, I'm sorry. I was quite drunk. But Neil, big Leeds fan. Big Leeds fan sitting behind me on the plane.
Hi, Neil and Barbara.
What's happening, Neil?
Say hello to Neil.
If that's actually your name, and Matty's not forgotten that as
Neil
well.
Neil and Barb.
And then on the way back, get on this weird thing. This is weird. On the way back, I'm supposed to take aspirin because I'm in this boot, right? It's like a blood thinner. And so I said to the air steward, because I forgot it was really early in the morning, I said, I'm really sorry, mate. Is there any chance you've got any aspirin? Like a doctor, I said, I've got to take it when I fly. And he's like, yes, sir, I'll go get you some. And then he came back and he gave it to the wrong guy. He gave it to the guy behind me who just took it and swallowed it. No questions asked.
You are joking.
He just took it.
That is brilliant.
And then he comes back later on. He's like, excuse me, sir. I'm sorry. The aspirin wasn't for you. It was for the gentleman in front. And the guy's just like, okay. But it's too late. It's gone.
What do you want me to do about it? It's gone.
So did they have no more aspirin on board for you?
No. Actually, when I got it, it wasn't even aspirin. It was like ibuprofen, so it was useless to me. But I just thought it was completely bonkers that some bloke just took a random pill off the air steward and was like, yeah, I'll pop that. Why not?
But also, why don't you just take your own aspirin or ibuprofen?
Well, I forgot to take it on the plane.
Oh, I didn't know if that was like protocol over there, that you're not allowed pills on the plane, so you have to let
No, I just forgot, so I asked him if he had any. But it was just thought it was really weird.
Yeah, that's mad. Matt, what were you in Canada for again?
Oh, no, I went up there to do like a public appearance thing, like a Harry Potter kind of meet and greet.
Was it good fun? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good.
Did many people come to see you, or were they just...
They did, amazingly. It was weird, because I'm kind of behind like a glass screen, you know, because of COVID, obviously. So it was kind of I felt like a bit like I was in an aquarium and I was the fish. But apart from that, no, it was really good. I love going up to Canada, and Calgary is a really nice city. If you ever get a chance, it's a beautiful city.
I know we should move on, but I really have questions about that. So it was like a meet and greet thing, but you stood behind a glass screen. So how do they meet you and greet you if you're just stood behind a glass screen?
Well, I mean, you still talk to each other. It's like being at the bank, you know, like I've got like a little slot that I can like sign and put it through the slot for them, but I just can't actually like shake their hand out. It's really weird.
Did it have the microphone system as well?
Yeah.
Just press the button. Hello, sir. It's nice to meet you.
Sorry, love. What did you say?
Yeah, press the button. You have to press the button.
Well, I'm glad you had a lovely time, Matt. Hey, Pat, haven't you missed this?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, while I'm on it, just before we move on, I'm doing the same thing, but in Stuart, Dallas, Texas this weekend. So I'm going to be in Stuart, Dallas, Texas. So if anyone is in the Dallas Whites and knows where I can watch the game on Friday, do get in touch with LUFC Pod and let me know, because I'm going to be in Dallas on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Use the hashtag LUFC Pod and help Matt out, please. Bex, while we're on it,
we
need to give you a massive round of applause, because you completed the Yorkshire Three Peaks Challenge, didn't you?
Oh, my good gosh. Yes, yeah. I did. I did indeed.
Was this for charity?
It was for the Leeds United Foundation, and it was incredible, absolutely incredible. It was a beautiful day, an amazing turnout, lots and lots of people, really nice, kind, friendly people as well. Everybody's working together for the same common goal to get up and over all three of the Yorkshire Peaks. And I'll be honest with you, it was difficult. It was really, really tough. There were a couple of times on going up the third peak that I found tricky. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was going to be not so much a piece of cake, but I thought I'd be able to get through it relatively easy. But this was tough. We're talking about 25, 26 miles walking. And in total, I think it was around about just under 2,500 meters of elevation. So I may be slightly off. It was between 2,000 and 2,500 feet.
How long did it take you?
You've got to clear it in 12 hours. So I did 10 hours. Like
what happens if you don't make the 12-hour cut? Are you like disqualified? Does it not count?
Yeah. Yeah. No. It still counts, obviously, but you're just not timed. You don't go on the leaderboard like myself, you know, right towards the top.
Are your calves not wrecked?
I've actually heard you raced ahead, to be fair.
I did. I went gung-ho. I'm not going to lie to you. Again, touching on the subject, I thought it was going to be relatively straightforward. So I stuck with Tony Dorigo and his Mrs. Claire, and that was a stupid, stupid mistake, because those guys walk every single day, everywhere. And by the time they got to the top of the first peak, and it must have taken somewhere in the region of an hour and a half-ish, I was maybe 5 minutes behind them. And as soon as I got to the top, I was exhausted. So I'm just like, right, guys, just give me like 2 minutes. Let me just get my breath back. You know, it was, you know, we attacked it really, really hardly. Yeah, no, I wasn't afforded that luxury. They said, no, you come with us or you stay here. I was like, oh, damn it.
So, yes, go on, Tony.
I tried to keep up as long as I could. But they're absolutely amazing. But we met so many incredible people on the walk, and it was for such a great cause as well. So I'm buzzing that I did it, buzzing that I'm finished. But yeah, politely declined to ever do that again.
How much did you raise, Bex, in total?
If I'm honest, I don't know. I'm hoping whatever it is, it was very welcome. But I don't know is the honest answer.
Can people still sponsor you now?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. You've literally just thrown me under the bus, if I'm honest with you. I don't have any information.
He doesn't do it for the money. He just does it for the love. That's the only reason.
That's it. I do it for the foundation and the love. That's it. That's what I'm here for. Oh, God. I'll get that information to you.
Thank you. Bex, we're all very proud of you. So huge congratulations on doing
Thanks
that.
Very much.
Now, we've had a lot of love for last week's episode with Dom Matteo. Christopher Ellis has tweeted to say, incredibly moving listening to Dominic Matteo. If that doesn't motivate you, I don't know what will. And Sam said, touching interview. Dom seems like such a resilient figure and will have his name etched in Leeds United folklore with that goal at the San Siro. Right then, we are going to get stuck in because Patrick Bamford, you've been doing a lot of things since we last spoke to you. Notably, first and foremost, celebrated your birthday. So happy belated birthday, Patrick.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, don't sing. I don't want a song.
Yeah, but don't stop.
Yeah.
It was possibly the weirdest birthday I've ever had because it didn't feel like a birthday. Not that I'm complaining.
Talk us through what your birthday was like then, Pat.
So you woke up and then what happened?
I actually stayed awake till 12 the night before.
Oh, you wild one, you.
Yeah, so
crazy.
I was awake then.
Did Gareth know about that?
Yeah.
Then, I don't know. But we weren't playing until 5, so I don't think we got up until 11.
When you say you were awake till 12, what were you doing? Were you like having a party for one or like what?
Oh, no, I think I was watching Money Heist.
Did you know
I like that.
At that point that you were going to be, you were starting the next day?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you knew, okay.
Yeah, so I tried to make it as normal as possible, even though normally I'd go to bed at like before a game 10:30. I knew I wouldn't be able to sleep, so I just tried to like kind of tire myself out a little bit. Stay awake as long as I could watching Money Heist, and then when I started drifting off, I knew that I had a bit of a lie-in. And then woke up the next day. I can't, to be honest, the day after the game, I tried to think back about the actual day and I couldn't remember anything. Like I can remember walking out and like singing the national anthem and stuff, but as far as like the intricate details, I can't really remember. Like even now, I don't know what I did in that morning. Don't know what I had to eat or anything. It's all a bit of a blur.
How were you feeling?
When it actually got to the day of the game, I didn't feel nervous or anything. I probably like shook my nerves off the first day. So I was nervous when I arrived to camp and then nervous for the first training session. But once I got into it, I trained all right. So I kind of helped and then settled in, and it was all just then became like kind of normal. And I just tried to treat the game like a normal game. And it was only really when we stood like singing the national anthem that I was like thinking, well, it's a bit nuts. I was never nervous because by that stage you've got your heart beats up and you warmed up and stuff. So it's just like a normal game.
Did they sing happy birthday to you on the day, your teammates?
Yes. So it must have been... It might have been actually that morning that we had like a little small team meeting and Gareth called everyone like together and he was like, you know, it's Bukayo's and Patrick's birthday. You know what we do? And he started singing happy birthday and everyone started singing happy birthday. So they all sang there in the meeting. And then when the game had, so after the game, we weren't allowed to go see our families and stuff because we were in the COVID bubble. So we couldn't go see mum or dad or anything. and we've got the bus pretty quickly after the game back to Spurs Lodge. And me and Calv were just chilling, playing Warzone. And I've got this knock on the door. I was like, who's that? So I've taken my headset off, opened the door, and it was Bukayo, Luke Shaw, and Mason Mount brought me a cake singing happy birthday.
Nice.
So yeah, it was nice.
I was going to say, you've made other friends other than Calvin. You have, haven't you? Because we're a little bit worried about you.
Yeah, no, I made plenty of friends. They're a really good group, to be fair.
All the pictures we've seen are just of you and Calvin.
Yeah, no, we're just worried about you. To be fair, we did hang out a lot, but made good friends with a lot of them. Like some who I thought would be a bit tough as well.
Who like?
Do you remember when we played Villa last year and obviously there's that picture of Tyrone Mings pulling me off the floor?
Yeah,
and obviously every time I played against him and Jack Grealish at Villa, it's always been like a little bit spiky. And I thought, oh, flipping heck, it's going to be awkward. But I'm not joking you, they're two of the nicest guys. Like they were so friendly and so easy to get on with. Like they're funny guys and it just, the whole group, they're honestly, you can tell why like they did so well as a team at the Euros because that group is so tight knit. Like the atmosphere is unreal.
Togetherness, yeah.
There was a video of you and Calvin running up the stairs. I think you were running up after him and someone's recording it going, friends, leave friends.
I think that was a fitness guy. Yeah, it was a fitness guy.
It made me laugh. Oh. What? How weird is it, Patrick, going from training where you're an integral part of the team, you're used to being with everyone, to being thrown into a new environment like that?
It's totally different. Like the type of training and everything was totally different. But for me, like making sure the first thing I did in the training session, like every training session was positive, like kind of helped settle into it and stuff. And then it was like, it kind of became normal, but it's one of them things that when I spoke with Gareth and the coaches and stuff, it was just like, look, it'll take time. The more time you spend playing with these boys, they'll understand your game, you'll understand their game. So it's always really difficult when you first come in. And just said that the more time that you're with us, the more you'll kind of get to grips and the more that they'll understand your game and it'll fit better. So
they'll have a bit really more good confidence in giving you the ball a little bit earlier as well. Because we were watching the game, obviously, and we saw the runs and the movement you did and the starting positions. And it just felt like they were told not to pass you the ball. Now, obviously, that's not the case. It's obviously not the case. But from our perspective, because we're used to seeing you make those runs and those movements consistently on a match day, we know that the ball normally, genuinely, finds its way to your feet. Whereas you're making these great movements and runs, etc., and it's just not coming. And that must have been frustrating, even though it was such an incredible time, an incredible moment, no?
Yeah, I think it was frustrating, but I knew that it's one of them things that in a game, just keep doing it. And then eventually you're hoping it'll come. And I think that is just one of the things that I haven't played with.
A lot of those boys before.
I played with Jesse before and Connor.
Sorry, who's Jesse?
Come on.
This is going to be so much fun.
So him and Connor Cody, I'd played with before at youth level. But all the others I'd never played with. So I think it's just like, they don't really know my game. Like, obviously, it's relatively like footballers playing with footballers. It should be simple, but there's different aspects to it, isn't there?
I also like that Gareth Southgate said to you, the more you play with the boys, the easier it will be and the more you'll be involved. Which to me, and I may be jumping the gun a little bit, says that your foot is quite firmly in the door.
I don't know. I mean, that's probably down to me and how I perform over the next like run of games, really. It's something that obviously now I've had a taste of it. I want to be involved more and more. So it's something that I want to push towards, but it's one of those things you can't take it for granted. Like I've got to keep pushing on. And as I said, there's said before in loads of interviews, there's like a lot of good strikers who are kind of teetering on the edge or have been involved when I haven't. And haven't been involved when I have and stuff like that.
Well, Pat, there's been a lot happening in your world, but before we move on, can I just tell you how cute it was when you actually, when Gareth gave you your first cap, when you actually stood up and when he collected it, you could just tell, the way I described it to the boys, it was like a school assembly when you have to get up and go and collect an award in front of everyone in the school and you're a bit embarrassed.
I didn't know if I was meant to get up or not, but he's obviously said well done in doing the presentation and stuff. So I just thought, like, the right thing to do is get up and shake his hand and say thanks. I didn't know what I was meant to do, but I just thought, get that cap and sit back down excellent. As quick as you can.
I had a question from my wife, and I actually didn't know the answer. Do you get a new cap for every game, or is it just a one cap, or and then that's it?
So, you know, the cap I got is a legacy cap. It's a red cap, and that's what you get for like your first ever cap. And then there on after you get a cap for each game, but they're navy or blue.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't realize as well. So in your shirt where it would like sit on the back of your neck. So in the, you know, normally where the sizing is on the shirt, it's etched into the collar is a number, and it's the number player you are to represent England. So that's what's
on the cap as well, right?
Yeah. That number's on the cap as well. And that's in the back of the shirt. So that's quite cool.
What number's yours?
1, 2, 6, 3.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow.
And where have you got them? Where have you put your shirt and cap?
They're just upstairs at the minute. I'm going to get them framed. But they're just sat upstairs. Why, do you want to see them?
Oh, yeah. Go get them.
Hang on then.
We will magically cut ahead to when you're back. So show us your shirt.
Oh, he's got it signed. Look at that.
Lovely. Look at you.
Number 9 as well. That's a sexy shirt.
So then that's the... You see that? That's the number, like the etched in thing.
Okay.
Wow.
That's where it's. And then obviously on the front, it just says the team and all the boys signed it. And then this is the cap.
Can you put it on?
Oh, mate.
Go on, put it on.
Put it
Go on.
Go on,
Pat. Oh, he actually is. This is amazing.
Oh, he is. Yes.
Producer Dave, I hope you're screenshotting
this.
Look
at that.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Nice, that trick.
Like you're in the Beano.
He looked like a jester.
That's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
That's the first time I've put it on.
There you go. That's our exclusive. It
doesn't fit my head.
Rubbish. Send it back. Yeah. Do you want us three to sign the shirt? You know, just as an acknowledgement of us getting you where you are today. I don't know if you...
Yeah, are you going to come back to UK especially to do it?
Yeah, well, cool. You have to put it through the glass. I'll sign it and then put it through the little slot for you.
I'll tell you what, though, Pat. One thing Matt will want to ask you about is this new contract that he needs a cut of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, I'll have a cut.
Yes, please.
Go on then, I'll have a cut. what's going on here?
Were you happy with everything that I got for you there? Is it
all good? you can retire now.
Yeah, excellent.
I want to hear these contract negotiations, boys. Matt, how much are you going in for? How much do you want?
What did we get in the end, Pat? What did we agree on?
I think we went for £10 a week.
£10
and
a week.
Your cut, I don't know what it was.
Well, just 10%. It's the old pound a week for me. Nice.
No, but on a serious note, Pat, how are you feeling about that? Because again, another thing to celebrate.
Yeah, it was something that I was talking about throughout the whole summer, through the Euros and stuff, and ideally wanted to get it done before the season started. So it was just like, in the end, it was just sorting out like the finer details and things like that, which kind of dragged it out an extra couple of weeks. But once it was finally sorted, it's just like, it's nice,
relief.
Like committed my future.
Yeah.
Pat, how do you feel right now? Because you've had your birthday, you've had an England call-up, signed a new contract, and you're back on the official Leeds United podcast. Your life is complete, pretty much, isn't it?
I know. They say things come in threes, don't they?
Cheers, Pat. Thanks. We're the fourth. Right then, Pat, if you're going to be like that, let's talk about the Liverpool game, shall we?
Yeah, that'll get him talking.
If we must.
You've had a few days to reflect on it. I think Matt's probably eager to get stuck in with a few of his thoughts.
He's chomping at the bit. Look at him.
Let's hear from you first, Pat. How are you feeling after that game?
I'm not going to lie, I was pissed. Like, that's probably, you're going to have to beat that. But on the way home, I was angry after the game. And then I watched it back again, and that probably made me more angry. I just felt like we were sloppy. Like, hands up, Liverpool were good. They're very good. Obviously a top team, but I just think that we were sloppy. We gave the ball away, and against big teams like that, you can't afford to turn over the ball as quick as we did. And it just didn't happen. I mean, the red card really did just like, it changed the game, or changed the way we had to approach it. We couldn't go fully out to try and win back the ball. We had to sit in a little bit. So it was frustrating, but I just feel just angry that we didn't give our greatest account of ourselves.
I mean, I think that's it, isn't it? I mean, Liverpool are a great side. I actually thought they played really, really well. Let's not deny that. And there was sort of talk before the game. I think Klopp was saying that if you match the Leeds intensity, then the quality of the Liverpool players should shine through. And I suppose, you know, on the day, that's kind of what happened. But Pat's right. Like, our intensity wasn't that difficult to match, I felt, in terms of our press and what I know we're capable of in the passing department as well. I don't know if it was the occasion. I don't know. I don't know really what it was. But we just weren't quite at the, well, like you said, that's not the Leeds team we watched play Liverpool last year. That's the only thing, is that I know we're better than that. It was a tough day at the office, wasn't it?
Bex, what were your thoughts on the game?
I thought Liverpool played really, really well. They exploited us in the left-back position on Junior Firpo. So they had Trent Alexander-Arnold on the overlap quite consistently. You had Salah and Harvey Elliott. The three of them were just putting so much pressure on Junior Firpo, on Jack Harrison to defend them. I feel like they worked it really, really well. And then when you put their quality as well as their work rate into that situation as well, there was only really going to be one winner down our left-hand side, down their right-hand side. And, you know, they played the game really, really well. They set really good traps as well when we were playing the ball out from the back. Their holding midfield players, I mentioned Harvey Elliott before, Harvey Elliott, Fabinho and Thiago, their starting positions when we had a goal kick, or when we had the ball in hand, they allowed us to roll the ball out and try and find a pass into Calvin or into Stewie Dallas or somebody in the middle of the field. And they just pressed with so much intensity. It put us under a lot of pressure. But quality-wise, they're excellent, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're excellent. So it was always going to be a difficult game, but they just worked it really, really well. They managed it well.
We're asking Calvin to do a lot in the middle at the minute, it feels to me. He's doing a fantastic job of it, but we're asking him to play several, you know, roles. And as you said, there, when he's being pressed like he was against Liverpool, it makes it very difficult to actually do very much out of the midfield. Like, what do you think the solution is to that going forward?
But don't be mistaken. There aren't many teams that can maintain that level of pressure
right
through the course of a 90 minutes. Like, we're one of them. Liverpool are one of them. Man City, possibly one of them. Whereas they won't press as much because they tend to dominate possession quite a bit. So if you look beyond the two or three at the top of the league, if we continue doing the things that we do well, pressing high, pressing hard, overloading in certain areas, etc., setting the traps ourselves, we won't have many issues throughout the course of the season. We saw that last season. It's just a matter of when we do come up against those teams with the high levels of quality, the high levels of energy, that are able to maintain those high standards, we might need to alter our tactics ever so slightly. But, you know, all in all, I think it's still a learning curve. We're still in a learning transitional period. And the guys are doing well. They're doing well. You know, we're allowed a couple of blips. We played against Manchester United, Liverpool, who are going to be challenging for the title. We played against Everton, who are under a new manager, who have not lost this season so far, who have been excellent, and Burnley, who have been really, really physical. So, you know, all things have to be weighed up. I don't think there's been much wrong with the start to this season.
you've hit the nail on the head there for me as well, is that a degree of perspective should be taken. Because yes, okay, would we want a lot more points from four games? Yes, but that's only probably because we were spoiled from last season. But three of those four teams are in the top four. You know, you've got Liverpool, Man United, Everton. And we're not supposed to take points off them. We took one off Everton in a great game. And away at Burnley, that's again a tough place. We didn't lose either of those games though. And yes, it seems panic stations because it's been four games without a win. But when you look at the calibre of the opponent, a bit of perspective, I think, is you're right, Bex.
Just on what Matt said, how are you feeling about the start of the season so far? Because we haven't actually checked in with you since the start of the season.
Oh, he's been too busy for us.
I think that, look, the first game, obviously, at Man United.
Well done.
Yes,
well done.
Matt News is it. Well, now you're throwing me right off. Yeah, so first game at Man United, whilst it being the derby and everyone really wanted that one, like, you know, from last year's experience, going there, especially away, is going to be tough. So obviously the score was a little bit high, but I think that to come away with anything more than a draw would have been exceptional, and you would have been happy with a draw. It's just they're going to be good this year. They're going to be, with their squad, they should be going to win the league. Same as Liverpool, they should be going for win the league this year. And Everton, as Matt said, started off really well. The only one a little bit frustrating is Burnley, which they're the kind of teams that you need to pick up the points from. I mean, we managed to grab a draw late on, but they're the kind of teams where you need to win. So I think it's been a little bit of a stuttering start, but the atmosphere is still good. You know, sometimes in a dressing room, you can sense as a player when you start, you haven't had the greatest start to a season, everyone starts like panicking a little bit, starts worrying. But it's not been like that. It's been, no one's really started thinking or even saying, we need to get a win, lads. We need to, where's this win coming from? Because I think everyone just believes in the process and we know that we're good enough after last year.
How's your Ente? How's he feeling after that? Obviously going off injured is not ideal. Is he still in good spirits? Is he all right?
I think after the game he was a bit emotional because I think he probably was panicking that it was something similar to last year that kept him out for a while. But I saw him this morning and he seemed in good spirits and he was smiling, seemed good. So I think he's all right.
That's good to
know. That is good to hear.
Also, I was intrigued to know how's Dan James got on? Obviously, we've not actually spoken about him yet.
Yeah.
We just see this small kid on the touchlines doing his warm up, sprinting, looking rapid. Is he the fastest in the squad now?
I don't know. We'll have to see a sprint. Over...
As far as I'm aware, you're still the fastest recorded on the pitch, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if anyone will beat that over a long distance. And you know what, yes, as well? People think I'm slow. These guys think I'm slow. No one's managed to top that speed.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what Lee Dixon was giving it at the weekend. He was saying, you know, the problem with Pat is that he doesn't have that lightning speed. And I'm like, whoa, the stats say otherwise.
Whip the stats out, Matt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But no, Dan James is rapid.
Yeah, he looks sharp.
And is he settling in well?
Do you know what's funny? Because of the whole Amazon thing where he nearly signed and didn't sign and it felt like he was in the club, like, it's almost like he's already been here. So
he's just returning.
Yeah, it was like seeing him in the dressing room wasn't like, oh, he's a new player. It's like, right, morning, mate, right? And it's just like he's been there for ages. So
I
think the fact that he knows Tyler from the Wales squad and he's a good lad as well. Like, he's proper chatty. He's just one of the boys and he wasn't shy or anything. It just felt like he's been there for ages. So he's fitted right in.
That's great.
What was his initiation song?
He didn't have to do it because it was a home game. So he'll have to do that in an away game.
Oh, right. Home games, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for anybody that doesn't know, initiation songs, when you sign for a new club, it's the first away trip, isn't it, Pat?
Yeah, away trip. So Newcastle.
At the dinner table.
So he's got that to look forward to on Thursday. Yeah.
Yep.
So we should catch that. Yeah. We should catch that on Pat's Twitter page and Instagram page, yeah?
I'll try and put it out if he does it.
Or what you could do, Pat, is get it on your voice notes and give us an official Leeds United podcast exclusive of Dan James' initiation song, couldn't you?
Yeah. I'll have to video it because voice note won't be clear enough unless I hold the phone right in his mouth and say, come on, lad.
Yeah. Can you try and do that if you remember, Pat?
Yeah, I will. video.
So it feels like we're all there. And talking about that away trip, first away trip for Dan James, how are you feeling about Newcastle on Friday?
Excited, to be honest. I've never played there with fans. So
wow.
I'm quite excited because obviously the stadium is massive when you're there without the fans. So with the fans in it, I think it's going to feel unreal.
It's incredible.
Especially with the Leeds fans will be right up in the heavens, aren't they? So yeah, I don't know why. I'm just quite excited about it all.
Do you know what? It's two extremely passionate fan bases coming up against each other. You know, and that, I've played there before as well. And just seeing and hearing what it's like, it's similar to our place. You know, they're really, really on top of you, really into it. And the fans are like a 12th player for the team. And I know that's a cliche that's been thrown out left, right and centre over the years. But honestly, it's an excellent venue to play at. Great atmosphere as well.
Yeah, it's going to be loud, that one.
Do you think we're going to be wearing the lilac that we've got modelled here by our illustrious Jermaine Beckford? Go on, show us it.
Oh, it's so look beautiful.
What about the shirt though, Em? What about the shirt?
I knew that was coming.
It's honestly, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's nice.
Really, really nice.
It's a piece of art.
Well, last year we wore what you've got on now, Matty, didn't we?
Yeah, it's your third kit from last year.
Yeah, so we wore that away, so I presume that we'll wear that one this year.
It's a nice kit.
Pat, like, obviously, we get excited about the shirts. Do you as players, do you get excited about the shirts?
Well, I did the photo shoots for them at the end of last season, and you kind of, when you see them, sometimes you're like, oh my God, this kit, like, that one's not very nice, this one's nice, blah, blah, blah. But they were all nice. Like, I was actually quite impressed with all of them. Yeah. I really like the away one, the dark blue.
Yeah, that's lovely. So,
but there isn't one of them where you're like, oh, I don't want to wear that. Whereas, you know, can you remember, when was it? I think it was the year we didn't go up. We had the yellow kit, which had like weird striping on certain areas of it. I wasn't a fan of that.
For the purpose of this podcast, I hear you were a fan of it, Pat, weren't you?
I think so. It was one of the sponsors.
Oh, yeah.
It just wasn't quite as nice as the others, was it?
yeah, that's what I meant.
Lots of fans, big fans of yellow away kits, so we do like the yellow.
Oops.
Now, Pat, before we let you go, there's obviously been a lot said about how intelligent you are, how articulate you are, etc., etc.
But we know you.
Right. Why do I feel like this is leading to a but and then there's a massive stitch-up?
No, maybe the stitch-up, but not the but, okay? We here at the Official Leeds United podcast have come up with a new feature called What's That, Pat?
who came up with that?
Why? What's wrong with it, Matt?
No, it's great. What's that, Pat? Come on, let's go.
It's original.
Exactly. Right. It's got a ring to it. So, in case you can't guess how it works, what's going to happen is we're. What's so funny, boys?
Oh my God! What's that, Pat? Can we revise that?
No, I like it.
I think what's that, Pat's quite
it's
good.
It's time for just... what's that, Pat? Let's go.
Yeah. See. So we are going to play What's That, Pat? And what's going to happen is you, the Leeds United fans, are going to get in touch with us. You're going to send us difficult questions that we have got to ask Pat. What's funny?
No, I'm laughing because we came up with this idea last year and I thought we'd poo-pooed it, but here it is making its glorious return and I'm thrilled about it.
Clearly, no better ideas were brought to the table. So sorry, Pat, but we're stuck with What's That, Pat?
Wait, so have I got a question this week?
Not this week.
Oh, that's
We wanted to give you time to sort of prepare yourself for this.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically,
I thought we should have thrown him under the bus first.
Think of one.
Yeah, think of a difficult question, Bex, and you can ask, what's that, Pat? So we want you to send your questions in using the hashtag LUFCpod. The more difficult, the better. And then we will ask you, Pat, and you'll answer.
You're going to be telling us about quantum physics, about the meaning of life. You're going to be talking to us about all kinds of stuff that the human knowledge would require. We're going to hear it from Pat Bamford, genius.
Well, actually, you know what? I did learn something new today.
Oh, well, amazing. About. What's that, Pat?
What's that, Pat? Love that, mate.
Do you know what my nickname is over in China, what I'm known as?
No, but I can't wait.
The postman.
I'm known as the smart one.
No way.
Really?
How do you say that in Chinese?
It's like Sherba or something. Sherba.
Sherba, the smart one.
Who told you this?
I had to do some international interview with the Chinese channel today. And the lady told me.
He's just been Googling himself, really, and he laughs.
Sherba. So very fitting for What's That, Pat? There
yeah. Okay. Sherba. Are you up for this, Pat? Because I can see What's That, Pat? Trending all over Twitter already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll do it. I can't promise I'll be very good, but I'll do it.
Just if you don't know the answer, if you say it with confidence, we'll believe you anyway.
I think that we should also, it shouldn't go on to the running list. And then if I can't get it, we've got to see if Matt and Bex can get it.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is why you're the Sherba. Good idea.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah? Are you up for that, boys?
Matt, he seems like he's well up for it. He's not.
I am so confident in Brainiac Bamford that I won't have to answer a single question. So it's all right.
So we won't have to go, what's that, Matt?
It doesn't quite fit with Bex.
What's that, Jermaine?
I was racking my brain a minute ago and it just doesn't work.
What the heck, Bex? See?
All right,
see?
No. I still prefer these two.
Yeah, me too. Pat, thank you so much for taking the time to join us for the first time in a few months. Are you going to be back next week?
It depends if I'm travelling to Fulham or not.
That's a no then.
No, that's a maybe.
Thanks for breaking Matt's heart again.
Just what's point?
Do you know what, Pat? It's been a joy having you on. We'll see you next month.
Thanks. I'll be back with a voice note of Dominic Matteo this time. Moaning about that.
Dominic Matteo? That's interesting.
Is that not how you say it? With a little bit of a foreign twist?
I've just never heard it said like that before.
You're the smart one. You tell us.
It is, Pat. How you say it. Pay no attention to
it. It is. Matteo. Yeah.
Genuinely though, Pat, it's been lovely having you back. Huge congratulations on all that you're achieving. Best of luck against Newcastle on Friday. Fingers crossed we will see you very soon. Remember, keep all your comments and questions coming in using the hashtag LUFCpod and use the hashtag What's That, Pat, for all your questions for Pat. Matt, Jermaine, Pat, see you soon.
Peace.